Hello everyone, and thank you for coming out to listen to my talk, and thank you to the conference organizers for letting me talk here in the first place. I appreciate it, and I hope to make you appreciate it as well if I do my job properly. So, today what I'd like to do is I'd like to follow up on the talk we just heard by Rob Martin, and I'd like to talk about, I guess, an application, a concrete application of this covariant sampling theory to a problem in cosmology. So to that effect, I'd like to talk to you about a fully relativistic band limit on the two-point function of quantum fields. So, just to recap quickly, the big question that we're after, the question we want to answer is there a covariant notion of a minimum length in nature? Because, I mean, the problem is, like, sure, it's fine, we expect that there's some kind of minimum length in nature, but the very notion of length itself is observer-dependent. So, I mean, what I call length L is not going to be the same as what an observer who's moving by at some velocity calls that same length. So we wonder, is there a covariant notion of this minimum length? And what we have to say is, yes, indeed, we can come up with such a notion. And we're going to formulate this notion using ideas from sampling theory, which is, I guess, a branch of information theory. And namely, what we're going to have is that our minimum length scale is going to come from setting a band limit on fields in nature. So what does that all mean? So recall that, just working in one dimension, suppose we have some one-dimensional function on the real line. This function f of x is band limited if its Fourier transform has compact support in some closed finite region. So here in this case, omega would be the band limit. And now we wonder, okay, how do we make this covariant? Can we come up with the covariant notion of band limit? And in doing so, we might be able to figure out then how to place or how to fix this minimum length scale covariantly in nature. So what Rob Martin was talking about, I'll just recap quickly, is so on one hand, you can view f being band limited as having compact support in its Fourier domain. Alternatively, you can view a band limit on f as saying that f is only spanned or it's only made up of eigenfunctions of the operator minus di squared x squared or the Laplace operator that have eigenvalues in some finite range 0 to omega squared. Which, I mean, if we just look at the Fourier transform of a function f here, it's made up of plane waves, their eigenvalues are d squared, dx squared, and their eigenvalues lie in the range minus omega to positive omega. So the idea is that, okay, we can implement a covariant cutoff by then necessitating that the spectrum of the D'Alembert operator, which is the covariant generalization of the wave operator, lie in a finite region, minus omega squared to omega squared. So that's a very nice idea, it's covariant. But now we wonder, okay, what does this mean physically, and how do we actually implement this in a calculation? So to that effect, let's discuss an application to cosmology. So the model we'll consider is a massive scalar field, a massive scalar field phi on a space-time, pure space-time background. And what I'll ask you to do is consider the two-point function of this field, gf of x and x prime, otherwise known as the Feynman propagator, which is defined this way in the path-integral picture. Now, the cosmological importance of this function is that it measures the strength of quantum fluctuations of the field. And when we look up at the night sky in the cosmic microwave background, these fluctuations are what we're seeing when we look at, say, the temperature fluctuations in the CMB. So we can actually measure this, and it's very important for testing our theory. So in particular, what we are interested in is the equal time two-point function for a given mode k, and that gives us the strength of that mode's quantum fluctuations. And a cutoff, really physically, what we're doing when we're implementing such a cutoff is we are restricting the fields that we integrate over in this path integral. We're saying that, okay, when we construct this function out of some, when we construct this function by traversing all possible functions in the field, we're going to not integrate over all possible fields. We're going to cut out the most extreme ones, which do not obey the cutoff condition on the spectrum that Alan Bershom. So in a couple slides, I'll show very concretely what that means. But to do so, first let's begin by looking, let's just look at Minkowski space, and let's do the calculation that we all know and love, the textbook calculation. And we'll ask, okay, so how do we actually compute this two-point function in Minkowski space? So it has an equation motion as follows. It's just an inhomogeneous Klein-Gordon equation. And to solve this, or rather to solve this equation for g, the usual method is, well, we Fourier transform with respect to the displacement x minus x prime. So we get a momentum representation, two-point function. And then, well, to get the quantity we're interested in, which is the two-point function as a function of time and a spatial momentum mode, we do a single Fourier transform back to have it in terms of time and spatial momentum mode, where here the omega squared contains that spatial momentum mode. Just as a side note, I've added in the little small I epsilon here just to be explicit that we're doing the Feynman's prescription here for the poles, if you actually want to grind through this integral. All right. So that's how we do the calculation. Now, how would we do this assuming our band limit on spacetime? So notice the following. The eigenfunctions of the D'Alembert operator are the plane waves, as we all know and love, and they have eigenvalues as follows. And if you recall, if we assume a band limit on spacetime, we're saying that, okay, we're going to restrict the values that these eigenvalues can assume. So that means this p0 squared minus p squared absolute value has to be less than or equal to omega squared. Omega squared is our band limit. So what this amounts to doing is, if we compute the two-point function, fixing a specific mode p, a specific spatial mode p, this inequality then restricts the possible values that p0 can take. And so what that means for the integral that we generate, or for the integral that we must carry out to compute this function, is it means we're not going to be able to traverse anymore all the values of p0 from minus infinity to plus infinity. We can only traverse those allowed by the cutoff condition that we see there. That cutoff condition corresponding to, if we want to draw it in the p0 p vector plane, it's a system of hyperbolas. So for instance, if we say fix a momentum mode here, this is what Dr. Martin was talking about before me, we see that p0 can only take values in a single contiguous compact interval. Or if we look at, say, values of p0 beyond the cutoff, values of p vector beyond the cutoff, our temporal momentum, p0, can only take values in two disconnected regions. And so what we're doing is, this will amount to changing the region over which we integrate to construct the two-point function. So we can do this calculation, we can carry it out, we can figure out, okay, well, this is the two-point function, the regular one that we are familiar with working with, and we can also compute it with our cutoff in mind. Now, the numerical details aren't too important, but what I'd like to draw your attention to is that in the regular case, we just have a purely real quantity, and in the cutoff case, what we have now is we see that, okay, so there's two cases, one for when the momentum is less than or equal to the cutoff, and one for when the momentum is greater than the cutoff. But in all situations, the two-point function is made up of the original part that we began with a purely imaginary correction onto it. And the effect that that has, if we look at this function here, is it means that overall, the corrected function in magnitude is always going to be larger because the correction is always imaginary, so we always have larger magnitude coming out. And so here I've just plotted the result of what it looks like, just plug in some numbers. The cutoff occurs where this dotted line is. And so we see that the regular two-point function here shown in red, and the corrected one with the covariant cutoff is shown in blue. So that's very nice. This demonstrates how we can do these calculations. So now let's try something a bit more cosmologically interesting. Rather, what we'd like to get at is the case of an expanding space-time. So the model, or our current future work, I guess, is to look at this in expanding space-time. So we consider anything we want, but so for example, I don't know, we could look at De Sitter space. So I've just written out here line element and the scale factor for De Sitter space, flat slicing and conformal time. I think everyone's pretty familiar with that, so I won't go too much into that. And the game is essentially the same. We just have our equation of motion that we had before, but now we have a highly non-trivial D'Alembert operator. So it's less clear accuracy, but we can proceed nonetheless. The calculation is not finished, so we'll only discuss some broad features and strategies of how one might go about using these covariant cutoff ideas. How am I doing for time, by the way? 5 minutes? Okay. Right, so we can do the calculation. Here's our equation of motion, and the idea that we have, the general idea that might work, that's going to let us do what we want to do, impose this cutoff, is, okay, let's diagonalize the operator here, box plus n squared. So we want to find a basis of eigenfunctions, eigenvalues, in which case we could write the inverse operator as the sum of the inverse eigenvalues and projectors, which we all know and love from quantum mechanics. And so choosing a basis, so for instance a time basis, we could then invert the equation we have here to obtain the two-point function in some arbitrary expanding space-time, for instance, De Sitter space. And then, that would give us the usual space-time case. Now, to implement the cutoff, then, would just amount to restricting the sum over eigenvalues to just those eigenvalues lambda that obey our cutoff condition, our band limitation. So this is what we're working on right now, and I won't dwell too much on it, I'll just throw it out that the issue, a big issue that we face is that the operator box k is only symmetric, it's not a self-adjoint operator, so either you need to fix a particular self-adjoint extension, in which case you need to be very careful that we actually get it right and do something physically meaningful, or we have to consider all self-adjoint extenders at once. Either way, that's what we're working on, that's the state of our computations. So summary and outlook, I guess the main ideas I hope I was able to convey to you today is that we can implement the idea of a minimum length scale by looking at a covariant cutoff on the spectrum of the D'Alembertian. And a nice interpretation of this is that we're really saying this constrains the fields that we integrate over when we do our path integral in quantum field theory. We're cutting away the most extreme quantum fluctuations that a field can undergo, those that are not do not adhere to our band limitation. And we saw that it alters a two-point function in Minkowski space, which suggests that the expanding space-times of calculations altered as well. And these expanding space-times are interesting for cosmology. So in the short term, we'd like to finish those calculations for expanding space-time. In the long term, it would be nice to consider a full quantum model where we have a quantum field back-reacting on a quantized space-time. And it'd be nice to actually look at some cosmic microwave background data to see how theory holds up to experiment. So that is all. Thank you for your attention.